I'm Andreas, this is Jesko, this is Finn. We're going to show you conceptual drawings of the working phase we are at the moment with the exhibition design, and it's very important to point out that these are really they are preliminary and they are in no way meant to be the final design. But first of all, I want to refer to the two projects that Tom mentioned already that we worked on together with Tom. And I'm going to show them very briefly to show you our way of working, our way of dealing with the of cooperating with the curators and of integrating research processes into the development of a spatial form, which is the same process that we are going through now with this project, how we try to bring the results or the results of a research process into a spatial form. And this is the first, the big project that we did together with Tom and Anselm, Neolithic Childhood. Very briefly, the content was starting from the art historian Carl Einstein to collect and map out and bring into relations a large number of artistic directions connected to the movement of surrealism in the 1930s. And the way this exhibition was put together was that it had artistic works as exhibits, but also a large number of archival materials, reproductions, things that are not immediately clear that they are artistic works. And it was one of the big challenges in this exhibition, how to relate these very different materials that are were going to be exhibited, and how to bring them into productive relations to one another. And in this case, our proposal to deal with this was to solve it on one big surface. So what you see here is a large exhibition wall, display wall, diagonally through the big exhibition hall here in the house, and from floor to ceiling. And this gave us the space to play with this wall surface and to work out. The curators worked out groupings and relations of different topics on this wall, and of different materials as artworks and documents. And then in a second step, we introduced this bridge system to access the wall. And that was kind of like a device to make it accessible and to, at the same time, to establish different ways of looking at this wall from a distance, from very close, from upstairs, from downstairs. This is the one example. And the other example is learning laboratories at BAC in Utrecht. Somehow the maybe a predecessor of the Bildungsschock project, which was smaller, but also worked differently, was structured differently, namely in a way that here case studies were presented. with very diverse materials, completely different formats of exhibits, films, prints, plans, models, a kind of high diversity of materials, but each case study had to be in itself coherent, and was also done like a bit like with Bildungsschock by many researchers involved. And here we suggested a modular system of boards, vertical display boards, that had the same size, but we could they could be added on according to the space that each project needed. We designed these curved, you see them, these curved legs that could be attached to the panels, and that would allow them to stand wherever they would be needed. And for us, this was the reference was, of course, an architectural element that comes from educational spaces, that is like flexible, lightweight divisions, special divisions. At the same time, it's known from schools for being used as display boards, little like very standard elements. That's the two projects. And now Finn continues.
One starting point for this exhibition, or for this exhibition architecture that we're proposing, are magazine and publication covers from the time and era that Bildungsschock is looking into. We're kind of using these in their structure of the title, the cover page, and the headline, and we transferred it to a very simple organization or orientation system in the space. So the first part of this is a suspended metal box, kind of as our title in the space. Attached to that, a kind of print, a cover print, attached to this box. And as a third part, this kind of subtext in this space, this will be our introduction text to each of the chapters of the exhibition. That could look somehow like this in the end. So we would have the titles on this kind of title box that could be a suspended box from steel, and then we would have the cover picture, and we would and the introduction text, and we would kind of do this with every chapter of the exhibition, and would then also use this cover, this kind of introduction panel, with different materials, so it would also have a kind of different spatial qualities. So it could be something like fabric or some kind of drape system that would also structure the room in a way. We have a roughly 30 to 40 chapters, so that's a pretty crowded room. And this is only the first part. Maybe Jesko wants to continue.
Okay, thanks. That was very brief. It's a kind of weird to present an exhibition concept in the making to a public or a wider public. Usually we work with the curators, the curatorial team, the artists, the researchers involved, the technicians and the institution and all these involved people. So maybe it's also important to rename what also Tom already mentioned, that we work on it for quite a long time already, and it's a parallel process of developing a curatorial, but also kind of a, let's say, infrastructural, organizatorial model of an exhibition, and also its spatial or physical outcomes. And for us, this is very important that we, on the one hand, are sometimes proposing things at conceptual levels, which can also help to structure or to inspire research or kind of an overall idea of an exhibition. And on the other hand, we also always need also feedback. Is this fitting? Is this does this make sense? And is it something that helps to kind of promote the overall approach of the exhibition and its contents? And so this is the status we are now in. And this what Finn presented, the first idea to have these covers as a kind of visual main level of the exhibition, where each contribution, each research gets it kind of physical and visual outcome in the exhibition, was one way starting to go into the design, because we wanted to have it very open, very accessible, also on a visual level, explicit what is the content of the exhibition, and also in a way a little bit popular. And that's why we have chosen this kind of book cover-like format, and it's also, of course, oriented towards orientation systems, information systems, that especially in kind of open alternative school formats are important to orient in this kind of open systems. So this is more the entry point into the exhibition, which tries to kind of condensate the content and also to give a kind of overview and orientation possibility, content-wise, but also as a physical experience in the space. And on the second level, we try to think more intensively about the social capacity of an exhibition in terms of how people can move, stay, behave and communicate in there, but also, of course, how do we deal with the exhibits, with the documents, the models, the research, the artworks, the books that will be there sooner or later, but they are more or less unknown to us in detail right now. So we looked also at the material that the research team and Tom presented to us, and here is a few pictures which were interesting to us among many others. How is the pedagogical system in between the teaching lessons in schools organized? So this means this is the Pausenhofgestaltung, the public and collective sphere between the classrooms. And we found out that there are quite typical and very pedagogical settings. You see some examples. So the lowered atrium, which is a very a space for a group where they can face each other and interconnect. There are other forms of facing each other around a table or around more kind of playground object. There are semi self-oriented settings like half corners or stages. And there are, of course, also concentrated and disconnected social situations. This can be a wall or a display, which play a role in this kind of spaces in the school context, but in a way in distance to the teachers. So we found this quite interesting to think about these social relations via objects in space. And we just have tried to make some sketches about these social formations. And on the left-hand side, you see this octagon. Then you see kind of a big table-like, could also be a ping-pong thing. You see this pedestal-like playground elements. You see a kind of a stage. You see a kind of a bench where small groups can interconnect and relate and sit together, but also distance back-to-back. And of course, there's also a wall which is more facing individuals or disconnecting people. And we thought it would be nice to introduce these elements on the one hand for, of course, also for the exhibits, and at the same time for people. So it's they have a double bind function in the overall exhibition. This is a preliminary placement in the exhibition hall, these elements you've seen before. And as you can see, they have no relation to the signage display cover system, which was dispersed in the space in a completely different way, because we thought the strict order of the visual elements maybe could be countered by a less organized order of social and exhibit elements in the space. And so if we kind of overlay these two these two display elements, there happens different kinds of interferences in it. So the idea is to have, on the one hand, a very clear, accessible, simple system of representation as a cover in the space for the research elements, the chapters, and on the other hand, to connect them via the social functions and the display function of these spatial elements. And so there's also the possibility for the process to come to find out how we relate an object, a document, a book, an artwork, a plan, a model to a specific chapter, or are they more interconnecting with other chapters, or do they build groups, or are they just kind of sitting in next to each other in conflict or in a debate. And here, for the last picture, shows a little bit more in detail a part of the exhibition and how these kind of chapter elements, how they interfere with this interconnecting displays for the research and art material of the exhibition to come. So that's our current status. It's quite unsolved how they look like, where they are positioned, which size they have, and also how they fit in relation to the exhibition material. But this is, I think, what the next month will also bring a more deeper knowledge about content material and its possible relations. So that's for now. Maybe we can have a talk with you.
Yes, thank you very much for this kind of sketching out of the ideas as they stand right now. There are a lot of questions. I mean, probably more questions that may be addressed to me or to the team, and with regard to the kind of curatorial decisions being made with regard to each case, to the case studies, and to the way they, to the scale of each case studies, and to the place they would demand or be, which they would have, which the space should or is to accommodate to them, to each of these case studies. So this, but this would be, I could go on about this for quite a while, and this would take a lot of time. I would rather, I mean, for the moment, maybe get back to this more general questions of your methodology. I mean, in general, the way in which you, kind of factors, which kind of determines, which kinds of which conditions you are confronted with, also in other projects, and where does, in your experience, the key decisions are being made? I mean, on which level is it the level of the kind of the physical affordances of a space? Is it the level of the institutional logics of the partnership? Is it the level of the financial framework, or so the way in which the question of costs and how to reduce them and be as effective as possible and efficient as possible? So is there anything in particular which also with regard to this project is making you particularly nervous right now?
The most nervous, the thing that makes us most nervous is, of course, the long time frame that we are working together. Because if the time frame is very short, we are forced to make decisions, and everybody has to accept them because of pragmatic reasons. Now we can kind of discuss things over and over. That's what we do ourselves, what we do with you, and probably also with you today, or with the researchers. This can also make things more complicated. But of course, there's also a very positive effect about it, that things can develop a certain intensity and also a practical dimension that is often hard to find out if you don't know what it's about and if you don't have the time to discuss it. But in a more positive way, what is most exciting to us is also to have a long time in advance to, on the one hand, understand, or let's say not understand, more relate to the idea, the conception, also the material that is in the exhibition, and to get a, let's say, deeper understanding in content-wise, but also formally about what is around there and what can we work with. And so we are most, in the good cases, not presented with a list of exhibits and list of artists and a space where this should happen in, but more kind of with the research process. And in this process, we are not only listening, which is maybe most important, but also try to, in a dialogue, to understand what is the structure behind this, what is the systematic, what are the hierarchies, what are maybe the key points, and how can we organize it, not in terms of how do we exhibit it, but how can we organize it in the process to find out more about it, and also to kind of represent them in a way that helps them to work. So this is, especially with this exhibition, a very exciting and intense process, and even more important to us than budgets or physical questions. And the other thing, which was a big part, also kind of a little bit of a problem to us with this exhibition, was that from the beginning, Tom, we, and maybe the institution, especially in regard to the issue that we are negotiating in this exhibition, we wanted to have it, let's say, open, accessible, popular at some degrees. And we know that this material is not popular, it's not open, it's not accessible, it's really academic in some degrees. And also the research is very academic, but we like this approach. And we also think it's very important for art institutions, but also in terms of the content, how can we make it accessible to other ages, to other knowledge backgrounds, to other cultural backgrounds, because this affects, of course, many people. And this is, in a way, special about this project. From the beginning, we had this kind of dilemma, being popular and open, but on the one hand, also being kind of, in a good sense, academic and in a way of knowledge production. And this is also a little bit what you've seen here, probably, that we try in this kind of first sketches to be quite visually explicit and easy as a cover of a magazine. You can read it immediately, or at least some of them. And on the other hand, we know that this will be a complicated and very deep-going research art exhibition. And this is also what we should try to keep in the future. How can we make it accessible?
Yeah, it's, I mean, for my, I mean, it's exactly the dilemma. I'm also, I mean, force myself to live in or to inhabit the dilemma between this the kind of research that should this kind of long-term research by many people that should somehow be manifest in the exhibition in an appropriate way. I mean, not in an accommodating way. I mean, with regard to these research findings, and on the other end, and to the artistic work which has been done. And on the other hand, of course, an exhibition and in general should also be a space in which you like to be. Without being forced to constantly taking in information and reading and processing information. So this, in particular, with regard to the subject of education, all the questions addressed by the research are leading away from a kind of purely informational approach. And this, so how to find a solution to create an inviting space where also other things than reading a text or watching a video can happen, and at the same time bring in all the material or bring in most of as much of the material into the exhibition that makes it possible to access the very problematic of that we are trying to address with this project. So there's, and also how the exhibition might relate to all the other components of the project that are not happening at HKW. So it's a multi-level brief.
I'd like to think about it from the perspective that the exhibitions space is itself an educational space, of course. Yeah. And then that means we face the same or similar questions that all the examples that are shown in the exhibition also have, that is questions of mediating knowledge or of displaying research results, but at the same time the question of how we are together in the same room, or how we communicate, or how we build social groups. And that's extremely interesting for us to think about, and that's also the relates to the two levels of the exhibition that we just presented.
We, as we don't have that much time, I would like to now to, if you, or would you like to add something? I would like to open the floor to the audience. Are there any questions? There's one. Michael Anoff.
Hi, thanks for your presentation. I would like to ask a question on the way you work, because I wonder, you actually deal with archival materials that are very much influenced by a triangulation of education, politics, and architecture. And back in the States, it was still very much informed by male bias. And I think that at least education and politics have very much reformed, but maybe not so much architecture. And I would like to ask how this male bias in architecture informs your work and the way you work in this process.
The male bias.
So the male bias on architecture has, of course, two levels. The one is who is presenting and doing architecture, male. So unfortunately, Anita is not with us today here. So at least this would also be a question to ask to her, what is her female aspect in working on architecture or in exhibition architecture. But it's a question that is not really easy to answer right here now on this male stage. And the second point is more, let's say, how kind of a male perspective, how kind of a male expert self-understanding as experts, how this is inscribed into architecture. And of course, there are several criticisms in design. How can we overcome this expert knowledge from above, this in a tradition of allocating material to provide spaces for people to live kind of lives that are already prescribed in architecture. This is in a way that we try to work differently. So let's name it that we try to work in processes, that we try to work not primarily related to outcomes, but more to kind of how can we have a conversation together in a project to develop an outcome, how our kind of, let's say, sketches are kind of inputs into conversation and not results. Of conversation. I mean, this is a level which is interesting. How can we restructure the process of designing itself? And this is a good opportunity for us with this long-term process and a close collaboration to develop maybe in a kind of architecture that is not in a classical sense how it usually works. But it's not an answer. It's an answer. Yes.
There's two questions, one in the back and one here, and maybe.
I would like to ask, in relation to this openness and closeness and how you are envisioning this as a popular exhibition, specifically in relation to this style or to the conversations that were happening in the morning around, even if you weren't here, it doesn't matter, but it's about how, for example, children experience spaces. How can children experience an exhibition about childhood, about education? I see this in these elements, but I think this is really something where architecture is lacking today. And I think it's like we were just talking before with one of you about the childcare, which is of course amazing, but it feels so incredible in such a context, in this huge, tremendous building, that the children are really literally in the smallest pen space, like the smallest room. And it just, you see this empty building and you see us talking about experimental childhood, and then the four kids that are here are in this like room that is 1/10 of this one. And yeah, and I feel that this is something very common when we are dealing with these issues that are for me very dear of like experimental childhood, and it so often is a spectacle for adults where children have zero space.
Yeah, you have one kid in this space right now. Mine are at home, and also our kids are not very enthusiastic going to exhibitions with us. Maybe they even radically get angry when we suggest to go to an exhibition at HKW. So it's an issue, also a private issue. And we're not sure about it. Maybe one comment before trying to answer this. What we showed here as references for the cover concept or for this kind of schoolyard spaces in between the lessons, it's not that we take them formally as examples or that we try to do something that looks like. It's more that we try to find out in this phase now, what do they offer? What is the kind of conceptual idea in this kind of concepts of a cover and of a kind of social space with no precise function in the context of learning? And I think this is a step we have done already together. We said, let's look at the displays, let's look at the exhibition, where it's on the level where people interact with things from the perspective of being there as social, being there as kind of different people, being there together or in groups, and also it's a strong imagination of school groups sitting there around and discussing things, of elderly people maybe using the space differently than architecture students or teachers who go here. And I think we have a very diverse audience, and this is for us now a very interesting point. How can we develop something that is a display for the material, but at the same time works as a space to inhabit here, and maybe where you can also relax from the content, which is very important in an exhibition of this size, that people also sometimes can ignore what is at display. But so we are discussing this and developing it, and we would like to go as far as possible in terms of building a kind of playground here, or whatever you can imagine is something different than a number of displays presenting content.
And it also, sorry.
I think what's also connected to this, that I think the children's accessibility should not be related to the spatial elements, but they should of course also be able to have something from the displays and from the research projects. And there, that's probably more tricky, but we have to think about it as well, what it means in terms of what the images show, or how long texts can be, or how high or low the displays are. So that's should not be limited to the playful spatial elements.
It is also, I mean, even more so a question of what kind of material you are actually showing, or what is, for example, the question of whether historical photographs of children on a playground or children in a school are actually to be shown. I mean, whether this isn't already, I mean, a repetition, a reiteration of the very kind of authoritarian gaze you're projecting on these kind of key side of biopolitical production. And it's so is there a way to get around, for example, or to treat this imagery differently? And this is of course something we will discuss further on, but which is also something that is that within the team and within the researchers network we are kind of contemplating, discussing, and trying to find solutions here. I think we have time for one more question, I think one more question, because this.
Very quickly, just to comment on first that it's commendable to expose this in the middle of the process. I think it's not very common that this kind of event takes place. But I would like to refer to the two concepts, the cover page and the other spatial arrangements, because they seem to be a little bit disconnected now, but there could be something binding, which is the idea that these cover pages usually are grouped together so that one decides, you know, where does you want to go into, which kind of, so maybe the space of the newsstand, you know, as a place where, as opposed to, you know, like dispersing them, maybe it's, the idea is more to group them. And then the further work has to be done perhaps on these spatial arrangements where different discourses can have absolutely different materializations, and then what you just mentioned, Tom, about what kind of product you give to the people to understand. You know? So I think that as an initial stage, I think it's a good idea, but maybe the cover as a way to enter and to actually purchase the magazine or to read the book, you know, so it's important to find, you know, how can you do that, you know, to actually not just this person.
Yeah, we'll take this. Thank you. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to share the process with you. And we now have to move again. So it's a very spatial experience we're having here. And then we come back. Thank you very much.